WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
This is EC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yeah, this is Broken Not Hottie. This is Christopher Daniels. And what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are too.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can look, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you.
Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers! And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell what the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free. All you have to do is click the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free for 30 days. It's that simple with Prime Gaming. So please, if you want to use it here, do so. If not, that's fine too. You can also follow the channel or hang out and chat. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever faithful producer slash co-host slash Sandy Man, Sir Rockin.
We're here, we're live, and we're not on fire.
Rock's trying to set my feet on fire.
Again. Not actually what I said.
You said that I had to put my socks on my feet, and I told you that my feet were hot. And, you know, by nature, if something gets too hot, it can catch on fire. So you're trying to light my feet on fire.
Again. Not actual things I said, or actual things that can happen. Tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward. Come to WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or Twitch.tv/WGLive. Chat with us about fire.
Can you tell that I woke up this morning and chose chaos?
Why are you trying to harm the talent? No.
Is that all I am to you, the talent?
One, I did not call you.
Quotations?
One, I didn't call you the talent.
No, I'm talking to Brent.
Yeah. Two, in fact, I'm protecting. Anyway, we have some stuff to get into tonight. It's not going to be a long show.
No, it's not going to be a long show. We actually have a semi-short show, although we'll probably go our normal time this week because, well, we have no pay-per-views to discuss or preview or anything. Yay! We get a little bit of a break before we go into the hell week that is WrestleMania.
Just as a heads up, chat, we're telling you now,
There's going to be a lot of content WrestleMania week. We're going to be live
a lot.
So,
just make sure you have notifications turned on.
Yeah, so we'll put out a schedule, or Rock will put out a schedule probably, of who's going live when, but there's a lot of things to talk about in regards to WrestleMania week, including the fact that they announced NXT TakeOver for the week of WrestleMania, and it will be on a Thursday, so guess who's doing a live TakeOver recap right after it ends? That's right, you guessed it, us. So... that to look forward to.
In our normal-ish time slot. So you're saying to yourselves, hey, so you're doing a TakeOver review on the day you should be doing your WrestleMania preview. I know that's what you're thinking. But chat, that is correct. We would be doing our preview on the normal day. It won't be the normal day. We'll have more details later, but it's not our normal day.
I'm foregoing margaritas for you people. You better be happy.
Yeah, screw WWE. LeMans, screw them. Screw them so hard. I was already freaking out about the schedule. Do not make it 2 days.
Yeah, let's hope it's not 2 days. That would be really, really rude because I have a life. It's not a lot of a life, but I do have a life. And I would like to enjoy some of it that week that is not spent every single damn day watching wrestling. And if that does happen, I'm not giving up booze permanently. I'm just giving it up for that Friday. Because we potentially have to do a preview on that Friday. But, yeah.
So, as a heads up, if there is a June night in NXT, we're all going to do it all on the Thursday. We're not breaking it up. I'm already doing enough. You only get one review show on that one for that one. Only one.
Yeah, we already have it planned, and if they change the plans on us, then,
You only get one review of that show.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll put out a schedule. We'll let you know as the time approaches. But like I said, the big news is that NXT TakeOver will be happening the week of WrestleMania. It is scheduled to happen on that Thursday. It's one night only currently, but there is a rumor it could go two. I don't know why it would go two, but there's a rumor it could go two. So watch your calendars for that. Sticking with WWE on the WWE Network, Goldberg F54 will be airing this weekend, so if you want to check that out, that's available for you. And then WWE also debuted their first non-pro wrestling documentary, Heaven, on the WWE Network this past weekend.
This Sunday.
Oh, it's coming this Sunday. I'm sorry.
This Sunday.
I thought it already debuted.
No, this Sunday. It's called Heaven. Tells the story of a trailblazing high school school wrestler named Heaven Fitch. In 2020, as a junior, Fitch became the first female athlete to win a boys' state wrestling championship in North Carolina, claiming the top spot in the 106-pound weight class. The film documents her inspiring journey up the ranks and the challenges she faced along the way, from proving doubters wrong to defying the odds and making history. It'll be narrated by Beth Phoenix.
Hey.
Stephanie McMahon is also involved in this project. So that's cool. Something outside their wheelhouse.
Yeah, and it shows that they're expanding out into that so they can create content for the network as they make the transition to Peacock, which happens this month, by the way.
Yeah, which, whole other story. Transform the Mans, they haven't been in full sale since like October. It will be probably at the PC.
Yeah, it's probably going to be at the Capitol Wrestling Center. That seems to be where they're doing NXT out of. They've been running TakeOver successfully out of it now, I think, a couple times. There's no reason for them to move buildings unless they want to.
And when it comes to that, who knows where the Thunderdome is going to be because baseball. So I don't think it'll be hard to coordinate everything because baseball's coming back up. So who knows what the plan is.
I mean, I'm just saying they could come up here to Gwinnett and they could run the Thunderdome at Gwinnett. I'd be fine with that.
Thunderdome. Anyway.
If they actually ran with crowds, I would consider going.
And they maybe.
Just to check it out, just to see it. But it would depend on where they have it, if it's downtown. Because I don't think they could do it downtown.
Yeah, a lot of sports going on.
Lots and lots of sports. So we'll have to see what WWE is going to do post-WrestleMania. But we'll keep you posted on that. Transitioning over really quick to pay-per-views and AEW. AEW announced that they have made a deal with Cinemark for Revolution to be broadcast across their network of theaters. So consult the website for the closest location if you want to see the pay-per-view that way. I believe there's a special on food and drinks, and then tickets are normal movie ticket prices.
I believe it's $20 and includes the food, I believe. I'm not 100% sure on it. if AEW would, you know, send out a press release that doesn't just say announcement on everything, I could tell you. Yes, here we go. Here is the thing. Fans can purchase tickets for $28 at Cinemark.com or on their app. It includes wild relishing on the white-knuckle action on screen. Fans can enjoy unbeatable deals on concessions, including a large soda and medium popcorn for $5, $2 off draft beer, or $1 off chicken sandwich or hot dog in each case where available.
There you go.
Revolution takes place live this Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern, with the kickoff at 7 p.m. Eastern. If you'd like a full breakdown of Revolution, tune in to CB Radio live Saturday night, midnight-ish. We'll preview the whole thing, and then CB Radio not so live will review the whole thing. Content.
I mean, man, I think a baseball stadium's a little bit different because it's open air, so it's a little bit safer. You don't have the air conditioning ducts and everything, supposedly, that you have to worry about with an enclosed space. Because at least here, SunTrust Park, or whatever the hell they're going to call it now, I don't even know, is open air.
And they're bringing fans back here in Philly, in Pennsylvania, so very limited capacity, but they're bringing fans for opening day. And home games.
I haven't heard if they're going 100% for the Braves yet or not. I don't know if they are. They're being very careful here because our governor isn't. So
we're starting at 20% capacity for stadiums.
Yeah, so I think they're experimenting and they're trying things. So we'll see how it goes. But because it's open air, they could go a little bit more. But I think they're going to go with whatever the CDC probably recommends.
Speaking of ticket sales, keep your eyes peeled. Tickets for WrestleMania will be coming very soon.
So yeah, so if you want to go, here's your chance. Transitioning over really quick to Impact. Explosion has gone on an extended hiatus due to taping schedules, so we'll see if that returns to our screens shortly.
It's had a long run. It's been on the air since 2002.
Oh yeah, it's been on forever.
Yeah, so, you know.
It's like that one constant, you know?
Yeah.
for TNA, is Explosion. So we'll see if it continues. And then, well, as one show ends, another show picks up. The NWA announced that they have a TV deal with Fight TV, so congratulations to them.
Yeah, it will be starting up where NWA Power will be on Fight TV in a subscription service. That part has not officially been announced, but that is what they're doing. It'll be probably $4.99. The current episodes of Power is up on Fight for free, the first season of it. Also, they'll be live, or I guess not live, but back on pay-per-view with Back for the Attack on Fight TV on March 21st. So that's their launch, and Power returns on March 23rd.
There you go. And now, the Blame Brents.
Let's do the Blame Brents.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulders snapping. It's this week's Injury Roundup.
So first up, we have Wes Lee with a broken hand.
# blame Brent.
And then we have Casey Castanero with a partially torn MCL, ACL?
PCL.
PCL. Knew it was something CL.
# blame Brent.
Hey, Brent, look, you have your own graphic.
Isn't it fancy, Brent? Anyway, let's do NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
Show that the real sports entertainment fans watch NXT.
So this show was all about people's issues and some people going to therapy, and
you just want to talk.
Some people not.
Do you just want to mention you talk all about the therapy?
Let's just talk about it first, because this show kind of centered around two storylines. It's centered around, obviously, Undisputed Era, and then it's centered around the wrestling family and them trying to help poor Austin, who's been brainwashed by Dexter Lumis. And the one thing that I have to applaud is that they have been consistent in people needing therapy after encountering and dealing with Dexter Lumis. So bravo to that. I think the only one that didn't go, or we didn't see go, was Cameron Grimes. But he could have gone to therapy. There's a possibility.
I mean, he went off the edge on a whole different...
He doing that retail therapy. How about that?
Yeah.
So, we're at the Orlando Psychiatric Center, I believe is what it's called. There's a lovely therapist there. The wrestling family is there. Austin's sitting there smiling. Johnny's being Johnny. Candace is the adoring, loving mom in her glasses. And then there's Indy, who's scribbling on her notepad, Mrs. Indy Wrestling Loomis. And Johnny, like, when Johnny discovers that, he looks at her and he goes, That was a present. That was a Christmas present. You just ruined Christmas! Oh my god. And so the therapist and Johnny, like, basically the therapist is talking to Austin. And Austin is like, no, I was on vacation and nothing bad happened. And it was just two dudes being dudes, right? Like, nothing happened. It was cool. And Johnny gets, like, really ultra aggressive and, like, gets in Austin's face and is talking about, oh, you know, no, he kidnapped you. No, he held you in a creepy basement. He did this. He did that. You know, he did all these awful things. And Austin's insisting, no. It was fine. It was fine. And so the therapist and Johnny, you know, finally have enough. And the therapist kicks Johnny out because he's showing aggression issues.
Mm-hmm. He needed the therapying.
He needed the therapying, so he gets kicked out. So now it's just a trio. And Candace is, like, trying to subtly look at her phone and talk to the therapist while she's trying to help Austin and Indy. And the therapist discovers that Johnny is feeding Candace the information as, you know, he's got his ear pressed to the door. So the therapist finally throws Candace and Indy out. And we get Austin all alone with the therapist.
Before that, we did you talk about how Hartwell, she said she wanted to be friend with benefits with Dexter Loomis?
Yeah, and Candace is like, what?
Friend with benefits.
Look, Andy Hartwell is just really thirsty for Dexter Loomis, and I'm here for it. Like, respect, you go get him, girl. You go for it. I don't think he's going to reciprocate in the way that you want, but he did follow her on the Instagram, so, you know, there's that. So anyway, so Candace and Indy are gone, and then the therapist does her work on Austin. She takes Austin back to that deep, dark, horrible place. She breaks Dexter's brainwashing, and Austin starts to just ball tears, realizing what happened. The wrestlings burst in. They ask what was done. The therapist is like, oh my god, what the hell? And then Johnny hands her a bunch of money. They all leave because he got what he wanted. And the therapist is going to Chuck E. Cheese's.
I think it was Johnny who put the therapist up to saying things bad about Dexter, because Dexter apparently was very talkative and called it like it was he couldn't wait to get rid of Austin Theory because of all his bad eating habits and stuff. So I think it was a setup, but I could be wrong.
I think it might have been a setup too, but it kind of depends, I guess. But yeah,
no,
so basically.
Not the therapist is a setup. I think Johnny posed as Dexter or got someone to play Dexter, if that makes sense. I could be completely wrong with that.
Well, when Austin was kidnapped?
No, because Dexter talked to the therapist.
When did Dexter? I missed that. When did Dexter talk to the therapist?
That's what happened, like, in the last act, is the therapist said she talked to Dexter earlier in the day, and he wouldn't stop talking because the whole theory is Dexter doesn't talk, but he talked to the therapist. So I think Johnny put him up to it. Put someone up to being, or was Johnny himself, which is what got the therapist to switch it up, to break theory, because they talked badly about Dexter.
Could be, and that's why he handed her a shit ton of money.
Yes.
We'll see. I mean, we'll see how it goes, but yeah, it was, and this doesn't even do it justice. Like, it was just so good. It was so entertaining. It was Johnny being Johnny, and then it was the other three just being the perfect complement to that.
Mm-hmm. Because in Austin's mind, he was watching cartoons and eating cereal and being happy, but Dexter couldn't stand it, according to what the therapist was told by Dexter, quote-unquote. Anyway, it was great television.
Yeah. Dexter Loomis isn't exactly Chatty McCarthy, so, you know.
That was the giveaway. And it's like, hey, weren't exactly,
He's not forthcoming.
So someone.
Someone poses Dexter Loomis.
And we'll find out probably sooner rather than later.
But yeah, so let's talk about the other group issues in the room, which is Undisputed Era. So Roderick Strong comes out. He's in his normal non-Undisputed Era clothes. It looks very weird to see him in, like, not in black and gold, which is what he's been in now for, like, what, 2 years? So it's just very, very strange to see him like that.
He has different music now.
Yeah, it's just, it's all very weird. The breakup's permanent, y'all, and it sucks. But it's still great. It's not sucks in a bad way. It's just, it's like, uh-huh, it's over. But Roger comes out and he addresses Adam Cole and he says, Adam, if you ever loved me, which he's setting himself up for failure here, like so hard, if you ever loved me, you'll come out here and talk to me. And you'll basically tell me what happened. Because WTF, man. So Adam Cole does not respond, but Finn Balor does. And Finn Balor comes out, and for a second I'm confused, because I'm like, wait, does that mean Finn loves Roderick more than than Adam does? I mean, I remember how they adopted Roderick, so that could be true. We don't know.
We don't.
He kind of twisted Roderick's arm, but basically Finn comes out and just talks shit to Roderick. And he's like, why are you worrying about Adam Cole? Why do you care about Adam Cole? I'm here. Because, and then Roderick's like, well, you know what? We didn't have any problems before you came. So now he's blaming it on his Uncle Finn as to why Undisputed Era broke up. What? So basically what you're saying is that Adam Cole fell in love with somebody else, y'all couldn't stand it, and y'all broke up.
Yes.
Is that what happened? Is that what I'm getting?
Kinda, sorta.
And Finn's like, nah, man. Nah. Wasn't me. Not it. That was all y'all. It's on all y'all. Words get said. Insults get thrown, fists break out, and the two men start fighting. The refs come break them up, and essentially we get a match between Roderick Strong and Finn Balor as the main event of the show.
It was a hell of a main event, too.
It really was. It was a fantastic main event. I would not mind seeing this again.
Finn got the win, and Adam Cole was up at the ramp, and Balor did the gun point, and that's how NXT closed. They had to be separated after the show was over.
Which I'm fine with. Keep them apart until they need to fight, and then push them at each other.
Speaking of that, they fight next week.
Woohoo!
For the championship. I believe it's next week.
It's 2 weeks.
One of them. I think it's next week, because I think they're loading up next week's show with other things. But we have this week's show to talk about. And there's more things to talk about as you're listening to The Rec live right here on Wild Talk Radio.
So, more drama on this show. The Women's Tag Team Championship match. We've been waiting for it. Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax versus Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez. Your Dusty Cup, inaugural Dusty Cup Women's Tag Team Champions from that. And, well, there's been a lot of trash talk. There's been a lot, as I said, insults thrown. And there was a little controversy in this, because this match is clipping along.
A little?
We're going to call it a little.
I would say it's more about a little.
Match is going along. They're fighting. They were actually having a really good match. And then, well, little hiccup happened in the form of Aja getting knocked out.
Accidentally by Raquel.
By Raquel. And meanwhile, Shayna's got Dakota firmly locked in a chokehold. But Raquel and Nia were legal. They're on the outside of the ring. They go through a table. Or through the announcer's table, or over the announcer's table, and well, we need a ref, because, you know, there's no order. We need a ref. We need somebody to finish the match, because Shayna still got hold of Dakota. What do we do? What do we do? And mind you, Raquel's the legal woman, and so is Nia.
No, Shayna was legal.
Oh, Shayna was legal, and it was Raquel?
Raquel.
Okay, so Dakota's not legal.
Right.
But Shayna's still got hold of her. They're cuddling in the middle of the ring. And so, wouldn't you know it, Adam Pearce shows up. Out of nowhere, sends down a referee, but is it an NXT referee? Oh no, it's a Monday Night Raw referee. And then, well, referee gets in the ring, Shayna locks the chokehold back on Dakota, the ref basically awards the win to Shayna and Nia by knockout, or by chokeout, after Dakota can't get free of Shayna. And, well, William Regal was not happy about this.
First, Vic Joseph was screaming that this wasn't legal. And yet it still went down. No, him and the Scrap Daddy did not have good words with each other backstage. They were ramping up and yelling at one another. And it's leading to a big, big announcement from William Regal next week.
Okay, I'm just going to say this. No offense to Adam Pearce, but between Adam Pearce and William Regal, my money's on Regal.
I know for a fact it's not an announcement where they get another title shot on, say, a pay-per-view on a Sunday night. No, that's going to Sasha and Bianca.
So I guess we're not getting the rematch, at least for right now. We'll see. I don't know why they're doing the match with Sasha and Bianca. I mean, okay,
no one
go off.
No one knows. it makes zero sense.
Like, please, please don't do what I think they're going to do, which they're going to put the titles on Sasha and Bianca right before WrestleMania, and then Sasha and Bianca are fighting at Mania, and they're the tag team champions, and it's for the women's title, and don't make it weird like that. Please just don't.
Or when William Regal's going to announce that the Dakota and Raquel get a shot at WrestleMania. That would be a cool announcement.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Or a takeover. Probably takeover, because they're not going to wrestle at WrestleMania. They're probably going to be on one of the nights of takeover.
Yeah, probably. We'll see. But yeah, anyway, William Regal has an announcement to make.
So, other matches on the show included the opener, which was Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch versus Thatcher and Ciampa. Good match.
I need Tommaso Ciampa to shave his head. He's
looking a little old with that head.
Just trim it up.
Oney and Danny got the win.
Which was interesting.
Why?
You would think that Thatcher and Ciampa would have gotten the win because they were pushing them, and I guess now they're not. And now they're pushing Danny and Oney. I mean, I'm fine with either instance, but it's interesting that they had Danny and Oney get the win.
Well, they're the champs, so, you know.
But it was non-title.
It's non-title, but they're the champs. They should win. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see where we go from there.
Ember Moon beat Aaliyah. We had more Robert Stone shouty.
The consistency in that is just so good. I love it. I love it so much that you have the feud between Shotzi and Robert Stone still happening. Still. Like, he's still afraid of her. It's great. I love everything about it.
It is very good. We had our favorite Cameron Grimes. Big money Cameron Grimes. He was out and walking, talking to the production guys in the booth. William Regal showed up and asked Grimes to stand in front of him. And Regal said NXT was threatened by a lawsuit due to a staff member getting punched in the face by Cameron Grimes last week. Cameron trying to pay off Regal. Regal was not put Cameron in a match against Bronson Reed. Grimes was asking Regal, are you sure? And it'd be easy if Regal just take the money. Because everybody has a price.
You don't want to know what William Regal says. I mean, actually, I kind of do. You kind of do. But Regal's like, you don't want to know.
You don't. And that damn Ted DiBiase.
I think my favorite thing about this is that when Regal has Cameron stand up and he talks about the lawsuit, Cameron's like, oh, well, I got the money. I'll pay it off. You know, how much do I need to pay? And William's like, no. I got the money. Don't worry. That part's covered. But you've put me in a sticky pickle. I don't appreciate that. So I'm going to whoop you. But I can't personally do it. So I'm going to have Bronson Reed do it. And by some miracle, somehow, Cameron Grimes beat Bronson Reed.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Dummy. Yeah. You had a little help from LA Knight, who before the match came out and said, he waited a long time to get in this ring and let me talk to ya. He talked about, he was mocking others about their childhood dreams, and this is a dream, it's business. Knight said it's his business to whoop man's ass when they step in his ropes. He compared himself to Tom Brady, but Tom Brady is half the man that L.A. Knight is. At the end of the day, he's going to be setting trends and setting records. Talked about some of the main eventers in NXT. They like to do their flips and their kicks and their dives. He's not about going to bring the flash, but he's going to beat the hell out of people. He's not going to do things fancy, but he's going to get them the job done. He's the last of the dying breed. He doesn't want to be called the GOAT. He just wants to hear his name being called in victory. And that is just a fact of life.
I also liked how you had Killian Dane and Alexander Wolfe chatting in the background.
Yeah, before he walked to the ring, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was interesting. So there's that little something up there.
But LA Knight and Cameron working together, so everybody has a price.
Well, I'm going to say this, and I don't mean to make offense, but Cameron's just a little bit of a fool.
Oh, 100%.
So, you know, an LA Knight certainly is not a fool. So why spend your own money when you can spend his?
Mm-hmm.
Especially if he's so willing to throw it around. So
yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. And it could be seeing what happens next week. We have a high package for Io and Tony next week. So that should be fun as always.
That's going to be good.
So
that package was sweet.
Next week's going to be a fun show.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited for it.
But that's NXT.
That is NXT. So, all right, we are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to be talking about championship reigns and the impact of a long versus a short reign and how both can be used to someone's advantage. So you'll send the rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Hey y'all, you want to get social with the Rack? Follow us on Instagram, instagram.com/RackRadioShow.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Great and Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night.
Event.
CB Radio, Saturday night, midnight-ish Eastern, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Mondays, once Monday Night Raw ends, join us for the Monday Night Raw post show.
Today I have something super serious to talk to you about.
Join us as we break down all the highs, the lows, and all the holy f*** moments that go down every single Monday night.
Exercise!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern.
Do I have your attention now?
Streaming live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Did you know you can use support a creator code ROCKANDSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
Ladies and gentlemen, EC3.
This is EC3.
I am in the top 1%.
You are listening to The Rack.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. If you'd like to subscribe to the channel for free for 30 days using Prime Gaming, we'll just click the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen. And you can do that. It's that simple. 30 days, free subscription. I mean, how can you not want to do that? You can also follow the channel, or you can hang out and chat. It's really up to you. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And with that, I think it's time for Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Bones breaking.
Tweet week. What do you got?
Okay. thing?
Well, the thing kept going and went down the playlist.
Production fail. The producer's failing on his job.
Lord.
Courage JD. It's finally happening. Reuniting with Tim and Nick to start today on Warzone, then checking out a new game with Lupo and Cloak. We back, baby. Cloaksy, I'm not reviving you once on Warzone for not including me. Courage. Tim just said you're banned from the morning group. Also, you didn't reply to anything and weren't streaming, so I didn't know if you'd be online. Don't give me that. Cloaksy, Tim's banned from all free buffet, but he still shows up. See you soon. Like, did you need to go that hard? That early in the morning for Tim? Like, really? Really? Did you need to?
Yes.
Gray Delisle Griffin. The kids and I have chosen our Saturday night movie, and it is Scooby-Doo in the Sword and the Scoob. Mark Hamill replies, have you shown the one where the gang meets me? I like that one. Among Us. Hi, Intel Gaming. Hello. Can I interest you in a refreshing bottle of Don Dew? Pool Shark. Don Dew. Does he know Don Kedick?
Don Kedick.
Don Kedick.
Don Kedick.
Kedick.
Kedick. Don Kedick.
Anyway, that's all I have.
Of course she has the Don Kedick joke in her tweets. Nothing.
Well, judge.
Vacare. An entire town of people rejected me when I asked them to dance. I proceeded to stand in a corner and watch them from a distance. Pain. Ninja, just effing at me next time. Jesus. Vacare. I was talking about Stardew Valley, but Tyler, what happened to you? LOL.
We all know what happened. We all saw it.
There wasn't enough movement. It happens.
The floss. The poor floss. I think it's dead.
Nature. One of my roommates opened our front door yesterday to grab a delivery and said that the neighborhood teenagers rode by on their bikes yelling, sex is temporary, but gaming is forever.
Did he get that tattooed on him yet?
I'm really going to have to get this tattoo this week for y'all to be satisfied, huh?
I can't believe he's going to do it.
He's a man of his word. I mean, no one says it's be a big tattoo. It could be a really tiny tattoo.
Get it as a tramp stamp. Do it.
Kat Dennings. Can't wait for the vaccine. I miss licking my friends' faces in poorly ventilated indoor areas.
We all do.
True. Deanna Perrazzo. Searched my car for 5 minutes outside the gym for my phone that was in my hand the whole time.
I've done that.
Action Jackson. I'm heckin' verified, baby. Lupo. Finally, I'll know when I'm talking to the real fifth guy on the shirt.
Oh, ouch.
So, Gentacles tweeted. Finally live. Tonight I promise not to jump off a roof, use flashbangs, and shoot teammates, even when they ask. A couple hours later, okay, so I did two of those things in one raid. Facepalm.
She was so traumatized yesterday.
Action Jackson, you murdered an innocent man. He had children. She replied, I mean, he's still alive. It was just in the game. Clintus, please clarify for Paul that you're still alive. Alive, I am.
Why y'all gotta do her like that? Like, damn.
Someone tweets, at Wendy's, please bring back the boneless. Wendy's, it's all boneless. Among Us, I say, bring the bones. And finally, Newegg. You know the website Newegg?
Mm-hmm.
Why do astronauts use Linux? Because they can't open windows in space.
They made it funny.
Tweet of the week. That's what that was.
All right. So like we said, we have no pay-per-views to discuss this week, so we actually came up with a discussion.
What?
Go us. And part of this is born out of what happened on Monday night, where Bobby Lashley defeated The Miz after The Miz held the championship for a week, and a lot of people were complaining about it and upset about it, and they were particularly upset of how Miz conducted himself as a champion. And I kind of want to get into that a little bit, and also talk about long versus short reigns and how both can be really impactful, because while I get a lot of people view Miz's title reign as really worthless, it's not, because it was a great use of a transitional champion and using the Money in Bank to create that transitional champion to get the title from Drew McIntyre to Bobby Lashley without giving away Lashley versus McIntyre in the current format. Like, we've seen it before, but now you built Bobby as this really fantastic monster type figure. He's mm-hmm. not actually a monster, but you know, basically where he's just ripping through people.
He's a dominant destroyer.
There we go. Better choice of words. And so having Miz play that cowardly heel, running from Bobby, basically winning it in a cowardly fashion where he makes the deal with Bobby and MVP, They help him win the title, and then Bobby comes for Miz as payment and takes Miz's title despite Miz running away at every turn. I thought was all really, really good. And that was a wonderful use of Miz, even though choking him out the second time really wasn't. But that's my only complaint about that whole thing, because they played to Miz's strength, which is that cowardly opportunist. That's what that character really kind of is. Like, when he needs to step up, he steps up, but otherwise he is 100% that coward that just takes advantage of the situation when he can. And he just got caught and he got beat. And so I felt like that was a great use of a short reign. And I feel like people, we kind of get lost in long title reigns, don't we?
We kind of do. Because after a while, it gets boring when someone holds the belt for so long. Which is why, you know, throughout this past year, I was advocating for Randy Orton to beat Drew McIntyre. Just as to change it up. Losing a title and staying in the title picture is fine. Winning the title back after losing it in 6 weeks is not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing because it makes other people. I have a prime example. Not a prime gaming example, which happens when you link your Amazon account to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming, and you can support the channel by clicking the purple rectangle button below the screen.
You just had to stick that in there, didn't you?
I did. But, no, transitional, in quotation, or short title reigns help make people. This one, using Miz, a former WWE champion, a former WrestleMania main eventer, being destroyed by the Dominator, Bobby Lashley, works if they keep Lashley in the championship picture. That's all to be determined. But going back many a moon ago, this is how, in old Attitude Era, things worked. So you had a guy named Shawn Michaels. He was the WWF champion after a certain screw job in a certain country in Canada. He would then take his championship to WrestleMania. And egos aside, he lost the WWF championship to a guy named Stone Cold Steve Austin. So through Stone Cold Steve Austin's reign, he would not hold it more than a couple months at a time. It just was never in the cards for Steve Austin to be in the top picture with the title. He was always at the top, but always didn't have the title. He would lose it to, say, a guy named, I don't know, Kane. Someone write that down. That's one. He would then win the match in 24 hours. But that's fine. It's cool. He's allowed to.
Mick Foley totally stole Kane's thunder, by the way. Go on.
I mean, he kind of did.
Technically, Mick Foley and Undertaker stole Kane's first championship title.
Steve Austin would then lose the same championship to both Undertaker and Kane, too. Making, you know, that we him losing the championship, I guess technically not to them, but to them. In a way, and help with Vince McMahon. It would then, Steve Austin would have to fight his way back to getting the championship, but before he was able to get there, some guy named Dwayne The Rock Johnson would win his first championship at Survivor Series. He, the people's champion, turned corporate champion, would lose the championship to Mick Foley, so that's three and then four, and they would transition the title back and forth, establishing both guys as main eventers in WWE and also legitimate champions in WWE. That's five guys right there who, with short title reigns, were made stars, right? Would you say? Had a lasting impact on the business in some manner. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you would have guys later on named Triple H win a championship and transition it through different people, including a guy named Kurt Angle would win the championship. Have a few month title reign. So the length of the title reign doesn't always matter. It's what you do with the championship. I mean, let's talk about it.
That good old adage.
Let's talk about it. Chris Jericho won his championship and, well, he hasn't stopped talking about it when he became the first ever undisputed championship by beating who, chat? That's right. Steve Austin and The Rock in one night. He would never ever let you forget that.
No.
But it's just a good use of what the championship does. And you can go all the way back however long you want. Ric Flair is a 16-time world champion for a reason. Because at points, he would lose his championship and create new contenders. Bob Backlund losing in 8 seconds to Diesel on a house show created the Diesel era of WWF. It's what you do with the championship and how you use it. The WWE championship for CM Punk established him as a main eventer. But that one went really, really long. And that one, the only reason that was saved is because he turned heel in the middle.
Yep.
And there's other examples of how short title reigns make people. Some work. Some don't always work. I mean, Dolph Ziggler's world champion, he unfortunately got hurt with his championship reign. And we've seen he hasn't really gotten back to the picture. But championships, short and long, work. It's just how you do it. What made the Attitude Era good, with the championship reigns being so short and not 300 days long, unpredictability. And that's what it boils down to. Unpredictability. Which needs to be brought back. I mean, it's great Asuka's held the championship as long as she did back in NXT, and then when she came up to the main roster. Long undefeated streaks are great. But at some point, it got boring. The matches were great, but the outcome, you always knew. Which is why unpredictability in championship reigns need to come back. Which is why every month, I don't know, since December, we've gone, Roman Reigns needs to lose that belt to Kevin Owens. Not because we don't want Roman as champion. We want the unpredictability back.
Yeah, I think that's what the one thing I don't like about long title reigns. I think long title reigns absolutely have their place, especially when you add a little bit of stability. Because if you look at WWE and you look at the way that they do their title reigns, at least in what would be termed the Attitude Era and then more into the modern era, basically from like 97 on, and even a little bit before 97, coming out of the 80s when you had the really, really long title reigns, they kind of shortened up, but they were still pretty lengthy. And then the Attitude Era is where you start to see this sort of like wave effect begin to happen, where the title reigns got shorter and shorter and shorter. And then as we went into the 2000s, they started to lengthen out again. And then as we went into 2010s, they got shorter and then they got longer again. And we've been in a long phase, or what I would term a long title reign phase, now since about 2015. And now we're coming out of that into a more, what it feels like, shorter title reign period. And what I mean by shorter is a year or less. Because let's not forget, AJ Styles held the title all of what, 2018? 2019?
For a few months, yeah.
No, he was champion for like a year.
Was it a year?
It was a year. He was champion for a year, I believe. So it's great for stability, but where it, to me, it begins to hurt is, like Rock said, the predictability factor, where they're going through person after person after person, and, you know, they're the champion and they're representing the brand and they're doing all of that, but they're not losing. Gradually, the more people someone goes through, the less impressive to me it feels, because they're no longer really a threat, because you don't have that era of, well, this person actually could stand the chance of beating X champion, because it's just not there. You know the outcome. You know they're going to win. You know it's completely predictable, because they're going to just keep that title right where it is. And so because of that, I feel like it actually hurts your champion and it hurts your title a little bit, because it takes that luster off the title. It doesn't necessarily have it feel as special as what it could be if it's moving a little bit more. I'm not saying it has to move constantly, but, you know, it's like when you have someone hold the title for a year, do a couple quick. I like it when they do a couple like really quick reigns in between before you have somebody hold it for a while again, because then it's moving, then it's more interesting, it's more unpredictable. You don't know where they're going with it next, versus like, you know, basically AJ Styles winning it. And I know this isn't the exact order, but AJ having a year reign with it and then Drew having almost a year reign with it.
So I looked back and went about the AJ Styles one and went, oh, he did hold it for a year. But because we all thought he would lose the belt at WrestleMania and held it, that was a surprise, because we were all predicting Shinsuke was getting the belt and he didn't. So again, it's what you do along the way.
Yeah. And I mean, it's both can be effective, both can be done right. But like going back to Punk's reign, for example, and I know everybody brings this up, but just to bring it up again, what kind of hurt Punk's reign was they had a plan, right? Punk was going to hold until The Rock showed up, and then The Rock was going to beat Punk for the title. He was going to get the record and it was all going to be cool. But what a little thing called Ryback happened in the middle of Punk's reign, where they did a really great job of building Ryback up as this monster character, very dominant, like Bobby Lashley. And you had the opportunity to put the title on Ryback and absolutely make Ryback, but because they had the plan and they were trying to give Punk the record, they ended up having Ryback lose to Punk, and that subsequently just torpedoed Ryback's career. And he never really ever recovered from it. And that's where longer reigns, especially when they are just hell-bent on a date and a time, can really start to hurt people. It's like in the case of Roman, Roman's kind of going through everybody right now. But in the past, when he's held the title and he's held the title for an extended period of time, he goes through everybody and then there's nobody for him to face. You have to build somebody up for him because he's not being beaten by anybody. You're not having anybody coming in and saying, you know what, I can take you down. And they actually succeed in taking him down. They catch him in a moment of weakness, or they outplay him, or they outthink him, and they're able to take that title off him. Even if it's for like a week to 2 weeks, Roman can come back, come in swinging, get his title back, and then he can go on. And it's interjecting those moments where it's like somebody can actually beat them versus doing the entire feud and LOL Roman wins, or LOL Cena wins, or LOL Drew wins. And you just have this really long, uninterrupted reign where it's like they just go through person after person after person after person, with the result always being the same until you get to a major show like WrestleMania or SummerSlam or Survivor Series, where they are considering changing the title. Like, that's how predictable it's getting, where it's like you can look at the reigns and go, okay, this person has held this title X since like X show. So say Drew wins the title at WrestleMania. We know he's going to carry it till SummerSlam, possibly as long as Survivor Series. It could go till Rumble. That's how predictable it gets when you're looking at this stuff, where it's like, okay, they put it on this person, so I know automatically it's going to go to here.
Mm-hmm. But the thing when that when you know the end result, it makes the journey suck somewhat. If he lost it along the way and still was fighting for the title in title matches along in that same 6-7 month window, product would be much more enjoyable.
It would be more exciting.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're not writers. This is just our personal opinion. But to me, it's like, I don't want to know what's coming next. That's part of the reason why I like wrestling. I enjoy wrestling. I want the escapism of it, where I can get lost in a story and enjoy it. And it's like, you sit here and we do these previews every month of these pay-per-views, and how many times have we said they're not going to move the title? And this is every champion. This isn't just Drew. This isn't just Roman. It's the tag champions. It's the women's champions. It's the tag team championships. You know, for the women, it's IC title, US title, a North American championship. You name it. It's like every title gets like this, because what happens is, especially for the secondaries, is they just put them on them and they just forget about them and they just leave them on people, and the titles actually get stagnant because they're either not being defended or they're not really taken seriously, and they just stay on someone for forever until they're like, yeah, okay, oh, right, you have that title. Okay, well, I need it over here, so I'm going to have you lose it to this person. Like Bobby Lashley. How long was Bobby Lashley US champion for?
Oh, good 6 months, I think.
And he defended it, but he really didn't defend it. And then it's like they were like, okay, we're going to move you up into the title picture. Thanks for being US champion. We're going to put it on Riddle. And then we're going to send you up after Miz, and that's fine. And you're going to become the WWE champion. And that's absolutely fantastic. Not knocking Bobby Lashley at all. But, you know, that's kind of a case in point where it's like they just put like either the US or the IC title on people, or the tag titles on people, or even to a certain extent, some of the women's championships on people, and forget about them and just leave them there. And I understand part of it is a pandemic era. They can only do so much. But that excuse is carrying less and less water, especially now that they have their full staff up and running and they have all their talent back. It's like, there's no excuse for you guys not being able to have these titles be successfully defended. Not necessarily every week, but at least every month.
Mm-hmm.
And add some sort of unpredictability to it. But that's just me.
I hope they don't, the man, put it in Drew's hand and we get another 7 months out of him as the top guy. If he's in the title picture for 7 months, that's okay, like we've been saying. But you gotta make new people along the way. Because if Drew's alone at the top, it'll be very boring if there's no one to fight him.
Well, it's like, for me, it's especially when you have those lengthy title reigns. You know, say for example, Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns. You had Kevin Owens, they did a wonderful job of building Kevin Owens back up. He went for Roman 3 times, which we all know is going to happen. But Kevin lost all 3 times. So what's going to make me take Kevin Owens seriously the next time? If there is a next time. That's the same thing with anybody Drew faces. It's like, if there is a next time, why should I take you seriously? What's changed about you? And they generally don't meet that burden of proof of why this person's changed, why they deserve to be believed in, that kind of thing. They do on occasion, but not always. So it's like, that's also the difficulties when it comes back around and the champion has gone through every competitor, but they're not ready to change the title. They swing it back around and they restart some of the feuds. And it's like, well, but you lost last time. Why should I believe in you?
Valid points.
And, And that's a problem. That's a huge problem. So it's like having somebody get the win every once in a while with the title, even if it's a short reign, I'm okay with that because it's just long enough that it's like, hey, maybe they do like Miz where they caught Drew McIntyre after an Elimination Chamber match and he's beat up and he's tired. And, you know, they hire Bobby Lashley to come out and beat the shit out of Drew. And then Miz can win the title. Or it's they take advantage of the champion like that. Like, there's nothing wrong with the champion losing in a cowardly way, because the cowardice is on the person that takes the title from them. It's not on the champion, because then the champion can come back and whoop their ass and take their title back. And they look that much more badass doing that, because it's like, hey, you screwed me over. I'm going to make sure that you pay for that. I'm not going to take that line down.
Yeah.
So, and this, like I said, this was born out of what they did with Miz and Monday Night.
It was born out of that, and then everyone not actually getting what they were doing. Because I put this out there and put a closing thought on it. If you were the Miz, wouldn't you do anything to get out of fighting Bobby Lashley? Especially if your dream is to be back in the main event of WrestleMania? Why the hell would you, normal person, want to get in the ring with the Destroyer? They didn't tarnish the championship like people were saying. It's man's being smart.
Yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, it doesn't put any scuff on the title, because it's like Miz won it in a cowardly way and he acted like a coward to the end. Because again, it's, all right, I have to pay the Piper, so how can I possibly pay the Piper? Because Miz isn't the first one to do this, where it's, well, I can get myself counted out and I can satisfy the requirement. I'm going to loophole this shit where I'll give Bobby his match, but I'll run and I'll get counted out. So technically, Bobby gets his championship match. Technically, I defended the title and I got counted out. So therefore, I cannot lose my championship. So honor is satisfied in the sense of that deal. You got exactly what you asked for. You got a championship match for the title and you won it, except you didn't win the title because Miz loopholed it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see anything wrong with it. I think it was perfectly fine because in the end, Miz got his comeuppance. You had that story get satisfied where it's like Miz ran away twice. He tried to run away a third time and he got stopped and he got what he deserved. And now Bobby Lashley's your champion. It was a great story.
But people are too obsessed with other things to even realize it.
That's okay.
We'll sit here and enjoy it.
Or try to.
That's okay.
But with that, I think we're done.
We are done. Programming note.
Oh my god, so many programming notes.
We're ending now. But Fortnite with Friends will be back Saturday.
Yeah.
Don't worry. Fortnite with Friends on a Thursday is coming back. Wait till the new season.
Yeah, sorry. Wait. I'm just a little tired.
And I was beat up by a 5-year-old today. So, we're going to take it easy tonight. But Before Night with Friends on a Thursday is coming back. Just not this week. But it'll be live Saturday at 10 p.m. Followed by CB Radio live at midnight-ish. CBRadio.com, greatergreatergreat.com. Tim will be over his illness and be back live for Wrestle Talk Radio as they try to improve Monday Night Raw 10 p.m. Eastern on WTR Sunday night. Monday Night Raw post show, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back live next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll figure out something to discuss. Don't know yet, but we'll figure it out.
Maybe Bray Wyatt will be back and we can talk about Bray Wyatt.
At Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. If you have Amazon Prime, you can link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. And you can support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use creator code ROCKETSOCK at the Fortnite item shop. Right now in the item shop is Laser Beans skin. It's kind of cool. Check it out. Hashtag Epic Partner.
It's pretty cute. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lins Ward, LNSWRD, and don't forget to check out our very fine sponsor, MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to Rock right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will see you next week. Till then, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.